Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I can't believe it. Another one in the books. We got two books this week. So
the spell books.
I really cannot believe how many seasons of television shows we are wrapping up at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy and excited to be here to discuss season 3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer with you. It's been a wild ride. I feel like a lot of things moved and shifted for me, at least in opinions. And I'm excited to talk about it with you today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, only today. Not next week.
Wow.
Maybe the week after that.
Okay. Yes, season 3, I think, I don't know if it's anyone's favorite, I guess.
People might, people like it. I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I assume people like it. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I'll have to think through like exactly where it falls in my rankings. But of course, we're here to break down season 3. We're going to talk through the characters' journeys. We're going to do a little bit of ranking. We're going to give out some MVPs and LVPs. And then we're going to make some predictions for the upcoming season 4 of the show. And of course, we have to slot in Daddy Mayer somewhere into our villain rankings. So that will be interesting. But first, let's get into our little summary here of what happened this season via our characters. Buffy starts out the season in L.A., she's like, nah, can't be bothered. I hate Sunnydale. I'm out, skis.
Yeah, I liked Anne. I thought that it was an interesting episode. And I think that seeing her as dark Buffy, which I think is going to be something that we see throughout the series, because my girl can get a little moody, but that's okay because me too, girl, me too. She might be a Scorpio. Have we ever thought about this?
I feel like we've definitely had the conversation of what she is.
But I think officially a Capricorn. But
I was just going to say. Okay, good.
But I think like she might have some Scorpio upside. But anyway, she is in a mood, which is understandable. Like her 200-year-old boyfriend got evaporated into oblivion and she thinks that she's never going to see him again. And it's like really awful because she was the one that did it. Lo and behold, this man comes back the next episode. So it really...
He was barely gone, Buffy. He was barely gone. Like, seriously, I've not changed my outfits longer than Angel was not on this like earth. Yeah. Like, but it's ridiculous.
She didn't know.
No, but she didn't once know. He came back and I was like, really? It's only been like two episodes and he didn't spin off.
Yeah,
I was not really pleased with this storyline. I found it to be kind of annoying. We dawdled around with Angel, I think, a smidge too much for my liking. And I love when I look back at the beginning of the season, Sarah, I kind of forgot that the Daddy Mayor wasn't our original villain. Like, we had Hoofman, remember? Oh, the vampire yeah. so old that he had hooves because hands yes. didn't exist yet.
Of course, tale as old as time. Mm-hmm. And then of course Mr. Trix, which led okay. us to the mayor. So it definitely was intertwined. But yeah, I think that Buffy's evolution this season was interesting in so much that I think that the lack of guidelines from the council and the as we always say, like, there is no union, there's nothing for the mm-hmm. workers. I think it was really gang her down because she really realized that, like, she is not a person to them. She is a weapon, a tool. And I think, like, it was interesting seeing her really understand that throughout the season, which ultimately culminated in her quitting the council at the end of it. So, and I think it's also like when, like, Giles got fired, I think that was illuminating for her. I think, like, she also realized that, like, she really has no say about where her life is going. And that led to frustration because we see her be like, hey, like, can I go to prom? Can I go to homecoming? And, like, that's always a question. She's like, can I leave for school? And that's always a question. Her 18th birthday party was bullshit because, like, they were basically like, oh, you're probably gonna die, and that's, like, normal. Like, I think that she really has an understanding that, like, being a slayer. And she was realizing that, like, last season too. But I really think that she is like, this is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I think with Giles not being her watcher, that was kind of the first big strike for Buffy against the council of, like, she wasn't happy with that decision. Then Faith comes into the picture and we really get their kind of parallel stories the entire season of what it's like when a slayer goes bad, I guess, like what happens when someone isn't appreciated. And obviously we'll talk about kind of the parallels between Buffy and her relationship to Giles and Faith and her relationship to Daddy Mayor. But yeah, the Buffy stuff was interesting this season. I feel like if I was nitpicking, I think we spent a little bit too much time dealing with the Angel aspect of all of it. Like, there was so much time eaten up with, like, oh, he's back and now I have to keep him a secret and I love him, but we can't be together. And it's like longing and I'm longing for him. And it's just a lot of that. But where we ultimately end up with Buffy quitting being a slayer and kind of her coming to terms with the fact that she has to stay in Sunnydale, but I think that she sees more purpose in it than, whereas before it felt very much like, I have to do this. You know, it's mm-hmm. a responsibility. It's a drag. Obviously, we see, like, in the prom episode, there's lots of episodes where Buffy wants to do something. She wants to have a normal birthday. She wants to go to prom. Like, she wants to do normal teenage things. And being a slayer is preventing that. I think that's a lot of the season is spent on the responsibility of being a slayer and how difficult it is for Buffy. Romantically, we already talked a little bit about her relationship with Angel. He is gone as of the end of the season. So we'll talk about our hopes and dreams and predictions for season 4. But hopefully it includes a new love interest that isn't a vampire. So she can properly fuck them without worrying about fucking the soul out of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that the Angel stuff it fatigued me, and, like, we can transition into Angel next because I just feel like that's natural, because, you know, he does come back really, really quickly and he spends, like, half of the season down and out where Buffy has to, like, go and kind of, like, nurse him back to health. So he was, like, really, really lame there, and I feel like there really wasn't much Angel upside. Like I think like throughout the seasons, I become like less and less into Bangle throughout. Like I think like the first season I was like, yeah, like this is working for me, sure, because like I do like a sulky moody vampire. I think it makes sense. But last season, I don't know, like I just feel like it didn't ultimately become a ship that like I really enjoyed. And I'm curious if there's like anybody out there that is like full on Angel and Buffy stands. I would doubt it. I think that there's probably other people in the future that we don't know about that people like really ship Buffy with. But
this is such a good question. Like in terms of predicting the audiences, the viewers' favorite ships. If we're going off of characters, couples we've already seen. I feel like beyond the like fanficky like Faith and Buffy, right? Like ones that actually have shown romantic moments together. I think Waz is probably the top ship, with Xander and Cordy, Zordy.
I don't know. A part of me like really thinks that like it's Giles and Joyce.
Like that would be ridiculous. They've only like they've had sex twice, but they were both like infected with teenage brain.
I don't know. It's so weird around them. I don't think it's ridiculous at all, actually. Like, why would it be? Like, 40-year-olds can have relationships too. Maybe they're 50. I don't know.
I'm not saying they can't have relationships. I'm saying we've only had one moment with them together, and it was.
I know,
when
but
they
obviously
have,
these are
they
two
weren't in their right brains.
Yeah, obviously these two characters are going to be here for all 8 seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think that they have a little time to marinate. And
well, like, no, I'm saying thus far.
At this moment.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that you meant like a greater
down the line. Yeah.
Like of all the Buffy the Vampire ships, like what are we rooting for? Yeah. Like I think like if I was a person that watched this, like when it first aired, I think that you're probably right. It probably would be like Waz or Zordy, maybe. I don't
People
know.
People love an enemies think, to lovers storyline. Yeah.
I do think that there's probably back then a lot of people that were into the Angel and Buffy storyline. I think that it probably was more popular then than it is now, especially because I think like a part of us, like, I don't know if I would have been as annoyed if I didn't know that Angel was spinning off. Like, I think like I would be more invested in their relationship and would be more upset if I didn't know that Angel was leaving. Like, I think by the time I started being like, I don't know, like I was just like, I don't know about this. I think I was so over it because I was just like, go away already. Like, I know you're leaving. Like, what's the point? But I do think that if I was watching in real time and I didn't know, I definitely think I would have been more invested in the relationship. And I would have like cared more, essentially. But his season, yeah, like I said, he spends like half his time like half dead, and then finally like he gets back, and he had some really really cool moments towards the end. I really think that like the things that like I predict will happen in Angel, of like him like coming in and doing like cool one-liners like I'm Angel or whatever he said, like I think like those are things that he did that was cool, that like him like sneaky, like lurking in the shadows, like that's the stuff that like I really liked about Angel. But aside from that, yeah, like a lot of like whiny baby stuff with him and Buffy, it got very very tired. And ultimately I feel like his departure, like he said that he was leaving, and I knew he was leaving. He was like, I'm leaving. And then we're like, okay, you're leaving. But like the fact that like, and he was like, I'm not going to say goodbye, which is just like so like whiny baby bitch. Like, I just know it is. But the fact that he literally just fades into the shadows just like irks me. I don't know. Like the way that he leaves is just so dumb. I don't know. How did you feel about his like actual departure from the show?
It reminds me of when we first met Angel. Like, he's always been this like creepy, brooding, one line kind of guy. And so he kind of leaves the same way he shows up originally. And it's not for me. This is not my sort of character. I'm so sorry for everyone who loves this sort of character, but like, I'm not into the sad boys. Like, I'm not into like the woe is me boys. They don't do it for me. I'm going to make a Dungeons and Dragons reference, or like a Critical Role reference for anyone who's a fan of that. There is a character in campaign one named Vax, and he's very broody, emo, whatever.
But people loved him.
People love him. I'm so sorry. And the reason I didn't like him is because I got so frustrated with him. Whenever he would be in like an emotionally difficult conversation, he would always do this thing where he'd be like, and then I walk away. And he would just like leave the conversation. Yeah. And I would get so annoyed because I'm like, okay, make it all about you again. And that's kind of how, that's the vibe I get from Angel. So again, I know people, we'll talk a little bit at the end of the podcast about our plans for like, if we're going to watch Angel, how much we're going to watch of it, blah, blah, blah. I know people have said Angel is not the reason to watch the show Angel, that like the supporting cast is way better. The other main characters are way better. So we'll keep that in mind. But let's move on and talk about Willow, because this season for Willow, I feel like this is really like a coming out season for her, because she's deep into the like the witch stuff now. And on top of that, I think in Doppelgangland, was Doppelgangland the one where she met her? Yeah, it's Doppelgangland, the one where she met the other version of her, right? The dark timeline version of her, the vampire version of her. I feel like it changed her in a way. Like, she just has a little bit. We've slowly been building this, right? Like, we talked about it in Halloween, the very first season. That was a big Willow episode. And kind of slowly but surely, she's building confidence. And I'm really enjoying that the more she learns about being a witch, the more confidence she has in herself. And this is going to sound dumb, and like, just understand the way I'm trying to say it. I feel like losing her virginity to Oz and like having that be the last like thing on like the list of, oh, it'd be embarrassing if this doesn't happen by X, Y, or Z date in terms of social stuff, right? Like, I'm not talking schooling. I think that is also going to help her have more confidence, because she's not going to be like, oh, I'm a loser who can't drive, because now she's had sex. Like, I don't know, that may sound silly, but I do think it's also going to boost her confidence a bit. So I just feel like by season four, we're going to be having like the most confident Willow we've seen.
I definitely can agree with that. I think that Willow, I think like you're like, the word that I was going to say was like a homecoming. Like, she really came into herself this season, and I think that a lot of things like helped her confidence. I think like that Doppelgangland did. I think that's been like a long time coming from like, you know, being friends with Buffy. Like, I think that eventually the other kids in the school stopped messing with her. I think that there was like a lot that really like was a turning point. And it's just like I said this multiple times, like, it's just like something about senior year, it's just like all those social standings, it just like stops mattering, and then you're able to like really like come into your own. And then when you go off to college, like, sure, like there's definitely circumstances where like people are cliquey and that there is like drama, or like there's judgy people, of course, that comes into the play, but it's essentially like a clean slate, and you could like, you don't have to bring the baggage from your earlier days into school. Like, you can really just be who you want to be. And I really like Willow finding herself. And I think like, yes, like a large part of that is also like getting powers, feeling like she's has like purpose, she's like an integral part of the team. I mean, like, not for nothing, like, I also think that she probably gained some confidence that like, hey, like, I did get Xander, like, it's someone that I wanted for a really long time, and he actually did show interest in me. like, I, of course, like, I totally think it was a mistake that she hooked up with Xander. And I know that you're probably going to go on like this big rant about it anytime soon. But I think that it definitely helped her see herself in a different light. And I really liked Willow this season. Like, I think that she really grew. And there's like, I think that it's interesting because I think at first glance, and I've talked about this before, she just seems like the nice girl next door. But I think that that's because Allison Hannigan has like that girl next door voice. And I really think that Willow is not that girl. Like, I really think that Willow has like a lot under the surface that has nothing to do with being like a goody two shoes. And I can definitely see her continuing to be like edgy going to school. Like, I think that she's just going to probably pop off. So I'm very interested in seeing what comes of like a college aged Willow.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to talk about Xander. We start the season. He's still with Cordy, but like things are kind of weird. And then, of course, there is the whole Willow and Xander of it all, which we already know I absolutely hated. And I think I hate it more now. Obviously, I've calmed down in terms of like, because my, you know, I'm not so close to it as I was when mm-hmm. we were first watching it. But I hate it more now because it really served no purpose. Like, if we wanted to break up Cordy and Xander, we could have done that. We didn't have to have Willow and Xander cheat on their partners to do it. And I know that's like people like the drama, but it gave me the ick and I hated it. I hated it so much. However, I will say, I like what we gave Xander to do in the finale. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great use of him as a character. It was a great callback, that like soldier stuff he learned. All of that was great, and I wish we got more of that. And that's my biggest problem with this character.
I don't know. I feel like we did get a lot of that, but like a lot of like in Zeppo, like the issue is that like he's able to take command. It's just that people just don't take him seriously. So like I feel like he has that in him. It's just that like people didn't give him the opportunity to utilize those skills. Like it wasn't until at the end where Buffy was like, hey, like, I need you for this. And it was like the first time that like, you know, like Xander was like, oh, I'm the key person. It sounded so childish, but it's because like his inner child is like, you know, I've never been the one that is told that they're important or special. And we know this because we know that there's like some family shit too. So I disagree with the fact that like they don't utilize him. Like, I think that there were instances, I don't agree with the fact that the show doesn't utilize him, because I think there's instances where we see it. I just don't think that our main characters take him seriously enough. And the same thing with Cordelia.
I think that they don't take him seriously because he's not a serious person 90% of the time. The episode that Buffy can read people's minds, literally all he's thinking about is like sex the entire time. He spends, after him and Cordy break up and then Wesley seems interested in her, he spends most of his time like either arguing with Cordelia or bitching about the fact that she's not with him or she's with someone else, or my Cordy this, my Cordy that. Like, there are moments he has, what I will say is just like flashes in the pan, I think, of like, this is a Xander I'd like to see more of. When he keeps Cordy's secret, when he pays for her dress, right? Like, all of those things are really great moments. And I feel like she is due those things after he cheated on her. Like, he didn't have to do them though, which is great. Like, I want more of that Xander and less of the like, the bug-eyed dog in the cartoon who's like drooling mm-hmm. over women. Like, because I find a lot of times, and I'm blaming Joss Whedon. And the reason is because I feel like they use Xander as like comedic relief, but yeah. they go to the well over and over and over again for the same sort of joke. And it is right. always like this like teenage boy can't keep his hormones in check sort of thing. As much as I like wasn't the biggest fan of the Zeppo, because I'm like, it was like a very Xander heavy episode. I do like that we got to see him do cool shit. Like, I'm all for every one of the Scoobies having their thing, having their niche, having a reason why they are useful to the group. And I think they could do a better job at finding that for Xander. Mm-hmm. Because I think at this point we have Willow, obviously has the witchy stuff. We have Buffy, who's the slayer. Giles, who's the watcher, even though he's fired, who cares, whatever. Cordy, I think, has kind of the like social prowess, right? Like, she has this really uncanny ability to be like, no, this, that. And she's right. And it's because she has these experiences that others don't. And I don't, besides the soldier experience, right? Like, besides those sorts of things, I want Xander to find his thing. Like, he says he wants to find his thing because should he be the guy with the car? Like, what should he be? Tell us, show. What is Xander supposed to be to me besides annoying?
Right. Yeah, I just don't have like the same issues as you with Xander. I think that I just see a lot of potential for there to be more. And like, I'd rather be wrong about that than like expect that he's got nothing. Like, I think that with amends, the little clue into like his family life of that he like has to sleep outside because it's super traumatizing. Like, I really would love to see more of that. Like, I'm very, very, very interested in his home life. Like, he didn't get into a college. We don't really know if he's taking a gap year, what he's doing.
He's supposed to be traveling. That's what he's not traveling,
or he traveled in the summer and we're not going to see it. He's going to come back. And then it's like, okay, like, what are you going to do next? And, we saw this with Pacey in Dawson's Creek. Like, he didn't go to school right away. However, like, he worked at a restaurant. He found like other purpose. He did this, he did that. I'm interested in like what Xander is going to wind up doing. But I don't know. Like, I think that like this season, I have definitely been the highest on Xander than I have previously. And like, I kind of feel like, yeah, like the stuff, like, you know, the horny teen thing is like annoying, but like for the most part, like I kind of just like tone it out and like look for the better aspects of his character. I think that there is like a handful or two handfuls of times that Xander made me actually laugh out loud, which and I know that he did for you too. Like, you're making a face, but like, I know that there are some jokes that like worked for
you. Two handfuls? I don't think so.
I think so. Like, I think, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I can't like, you know, recite all of the things, but like, I feel as though, I don't know. Like, I definitely was higher on him. I just like feel like when we have like duds, like Angel, and like Joyce, like he's not like our biggest problem anymore. And Wesley, like he's just not our biggest problem anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have other characters that are actually like, I have an actual like disinterest on watching in my screen. And Xander is not that guy anymore for me.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about someone we love to see on our screen, and it's Cordelia. I wish I liked what they had given Cordelia more this season. And I think my biggest issue with it is that after her and Xander split, she is the one who gets ousted from the Scoobies. And it's really hard. And it's really hard. Like, I feel like they wrote themselves into a corner where, yeah, like, okay, well, now that they've split, Cordy's not going to want to hang around the Scoobies. Like, she's just going to be sniping with them, which is what she does. And again, more power to her, because I didn't see Willow or Buffy being like, hey, Cordy, are you okay? Like, you want to still be well, obviously Willow can't do that, but Buffy could have been like a little bit nicer to Cordelia after the split. And it really stunk.
Buffy did try. I remember her like going to her at the Bronze, and then Cordelia literally told her to like fuck off. So
she got pushed into a bunch of trash or something too.
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah. That was the episode. That was the wish. So yeah, like Buffy did try. Like,
but the wish episode was great for Cordelia. Like that was incredible, right?
I mean, it was fun, but like she died right away. I think that like I agree. Like, I don't really know if they knew what to do with Cordelia. I felt like she definitely wasn't as involved this season in the group as season two. I really felt the absence of her a lot of the times. I think that like once Wesley came around, like I was very into it because I guess it gave her a reason to like come around the Scoobies again, which at the very least that was good, right? And like the relationship this, relationship that, like I think that it was like really funny to see her like have this big crush on somebody and it to be reciprocated. And I think that she needed that to get that confidence back, because after getting cheated on by somebody so mid like Xander, that must have hurt. Like to have somebody actually crushed on her again, that must have felt really nice. And yeah, like the kiss had no chemistry, it was really grody, like fine, whatever, but she can go on to like her next big thing with like a newfound confidence again, hopefully. I just do not know how she's going to fit into the group, honestly, now that like I really don't know. Like, yes, she does have a passion for helping out with like slaying or like problem solving. But with her not really being friends with Buffy or Willow or Xander or even Oz, and like, yeah, like the Wesley connection's not going to be there anymore. Like, I don't understand what her purpose within the group will be, like as like friendships. And like Buffy is like not really going to be the type of person to be like, hey Cordy, you want to like go hang out and get a coffee with me like every so often? And you know what I mean, like I just don't know like what her place is. And at this moment, I don't know where she's going off to college. She has that very interesting storyline that her family lost all their money. Is she at least able to afford Sunnydale University, UC Sunnydale?
I think that's probably what's going to have her end up in UC Sunnydale, is the fact that like she doesn't have many options in terms of being able to afford it. I almost wish we got the Cordy is poor storyline a little earlier in the season.
Yeah, me too.
And that would have given, we could have spent a little bit more time on it. We could have like spent some more time with Cordy, right? Like, I don't know. I think there was just, they didn't utilize her enough, in my opinion, because when I look back and look at the growth we got in that character from season one to and all through season two, I was like so pleased with her. I loved her. And then when I try to look back at this season, like I don't remember a ton of standout Cordy moments. And it's because she just wasn't around a ton.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stinks, because I think this is a character that has so much potential, right? Like the ceiling is very high, so they could do more with her. And I have some ideas for like when we'll get into our prediction section of like what might possibly happen with Cordelia. But I really hope, my biggest hope honestly, is that we get more of her in season four, because I just feel like we didn't get enough. And I would like, similarly to Xander, I almost want her to find a passion. And like, maybe her passion is just like literally being rich or buying things, right? But like, I just want her to be able to go after a passion in the way that Willow has witchcraft and Buffy has slaying. And you know what I mean? Like, I just want more for her because I love her as a character. So we'll see where she goes. We already talked about Angel and he's gone, and we talked about him with Buffy, and I don't really have any more to say on him, frankly. So I think we should just move on to Giles. Giles has a rough season in terms of like getting fired. That's so brutal, but I admire so much that he sticks around. And I almost feel like, Sarah, him getting fired really allowed him to do whatever the fuck he wanted and not have repercussions. Like I feel like it was able to be like Giles and Buffy versus Wesley, because it's almost like exactly how when we get Faith, it's like, oh shit, this is what like a a more brash, not like not really listening version of Buffy is what like that sort of a slayer looks like. Wesley mm-hmm. is, we thought Giles was nerdy, in comes Wesley. So like this was really a fun season for Giles in that I feel like he got to not be so like bookish and snooty.
Yeah.
You know, like he got to like loosen up a bit. He sleeps with Joyce. We don't get a ton more Ripper stuff. We got like a teeny bit. I wish we got more, if I'm being honest. But I do think he has some of his best moments in this season in terms of his connection with Buffy. And I was really, really pleased that we got those because it's been slowly building in a way that's really well earned, I think.
Yeah. For me, it's like no secret that I really did not like Giles or like enjoy the character of Giles for probably the first two seasons, definitely season one. Totally turned around this season. Like, absolutely. Like, I listened to his lore. Like, I watched what he had to do and what he said. And I think it's like a couple parts. Like, I think that's definitely like, yeah, the Ripper stuff helped. I think that having him be able to leave the library and be part of more of the action was really good. And I think that the two seasons really earned the father-daughter like relationship between Buffy and Giles. And I felt like, especially because like Giles like softened up about just like, you know, he was like really sympathetic about like her wanting to go away to school, really sympathetic about like being like an average teenager. And I think like that really helped me as well. Like him seeing that, it's what I said earlier, like the council really just sees them as weapons, these slayers, like they're not people. And I really like that, that Giles is seeing Buffy as a person, as a teenager, as a 17-year-old girl, 18-year-old girl, like, and not, I think that like the training that they are put through as a watcher is like, I think it's like very regimented. Like, it's like, you have to like, and most of them are like by the book. And I think that him going off book really like made a huge difference for me, especially in my like appreciation of him. And like, I really, really do like the character. I think it took a little bit for me because of the regiment, because of like him not listening to Buffy. But this season he listened to Buffy and he trusted her, Buffy and her instincts. And I just think that all really worked. And instead of like him, the hierarchy of like him being like a watcher, like I am like over you, I am your superior, they really worked. So this season more so as like a pair or like as a partnership. And that really works for me because like I just think it really made a huge difference in me enjoying their relationship together, and also Giles as a character. And I'm like very, very high on Giles. Like I'm like very excited to see what he's up to next. Like I really like him being a part of the action. Like I think that I'm really happy for the actor. You know, it's so funny. I don't even know the freaking actor's name. I think his name is Anthony and he has like three names. I don't know.
I think it is Anthony.
I'm really happy that he's
Anthony like, Head.
Oh, he only has two.
What an interesting last name.
I think that it's really cool that he's able to just like get out of like the library, so to speak.
It got exploded. Like he's not like, going back there.
I didn't mean that. I meant like this season prior. He was able to like be on the battlefield.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I really like that.
I think that truly opened up just more room for him to show his badassery is because he wasn't stuck in the library, you know, like he was able to side with Buffy. He didn't have to be the side of the man, which is the council, you know. I'm so looking forward to see what we get from him next season, considering they'll be in college. So like theoretically, he's not going to be the high school librarian anymore. But let's move on to the other watcher we saw this season, Wesley. We don't get him until like midway through the season, so we have a little less on him in terms of discussion points. Obviously, the big ones being his pursuing of Cordelia, which doesn't work out. And I love that they really were like, really hammering it in, and then they just have this horrible kiss.
Yeah, it's I got really tricked. It was fun. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really funny. I liked Wesley. I thought that it was just a funny reminder of like how I viewed Giles in the first season in particular. And like it was a caricature of Giles, really. And I think that he was interesting. I really think that like it also added to, you know, like I thought that Giles was a loser or boring or a dweeb. No, like there's like this guy, like this
he's
is
a wiener.
And I think that like he, once again, like I really do think that the training to be a watcher is like really like, you know, by the books, like there's like protocol, there's regiment. And I think that like seeing Wesley just out of the programming and not having a lot of experience, it's like everything has to be by the book. Everything is protocol.
Yes,
like
yes.
There is, it's very black and white. Like what the council says is like, is canon. And like, there's been times throughout the series where like Giles is like, we don't have to tell the council this, it's okay. Wesley is like, no, we have to tell the council. Like, it's like, you know, it's protocol. Like, we have to, like, it's mandatory. And it's like really interesting to see these like parallels, these differences, and like how far from the one side Giles is. Like, if we're like looking at some sort of like a scale of regiment or like how like strict a watcher is. It's like, well, Giles is like really, you know, like it's interesting because like I think like we're talking about all these parallels. We have the mayor, we have Giles, we have Buffy, we have Faith, we have whomever. But like we also have Giles and Wesley. And I think that Giles probably saw like a bit of him in Wesley at times. And he's like, oh, like this is how I used to be, or like, or this is how I could come off. And like, that's not how I want to live my life.
Yeah. Cause I think when you think about the fact that we know that Giles used to be like more like a ripper, and then he is turned into the Giles that we meet in season one. And then Wesley comes in. I feel like in his mind, he's like, I don't want to be that motherfucker. Like, I don't want to be that loserish. Yeah. So it really balances the scales in terms of how we then view Giles going forward versus Wesley, who is much more dweeby, I would say, and much more of like a stickler for the rules. I'm really interested in seeing where we go with him. Not just because we're not in the high school, but also because like Buffy quit and like he was her watcher. And what if Buffy rejoins? Is she going to be like, in my rider, Giles has to be my watcher. Then what do we do with Wesley? Or do they you know, what's the deal there? Mm-hmm. And also worth mentioning, as much as we're like slandering Wesley and calling him a loser, he did end up being like, F the council, I'm still going to help. So he did do that, right? Like, I don't want to completely discredit the guy. He was inevitably very loyal to Buffy and the Scoobies. But let's talk about Oz. I felt so bad for him with the whole Willow and Xander of it all. And I was really hoping that he would be able to just, like, move on and then do something fun and cool. And he didn't. He did get back together with Willow. But I thought it was so interesting that while in most teen shows and teen dramas, I would assume it's like, oh, Oz is going to hold the stuff against Willow and there's going to be like tension with Xander and like all this other stuff. None of that happened with Oz. Like, he was like cool as a cucumber as usual. You know, he's cool Oz. And on top of that, he's definitely the best boyfriend in the series so far because he truly loves Willow. And that is his main priority. Willow is his main priority. When she tries to like sleep with him as like a way to like say sorry or whatever, he's like, no, I want this to be like real. I want it to be when it's supposed to be. Like, I love Oz so much. And I'm so curious what we're going to see of him in the future, considering like, we don't even know if he's going to college, you know, like I don't think he will. Like, he, it took him a while to graduate. Like, is he really just going to go off to college? Like, no, he'll probably like still be in his band, like doing shit. And what about, there's no more sex dungeon or sex cage in the library. Where are they going to put him when it's werewolfy time? You know, what's going to happen with Oz?
I don't know. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I find Oz so boring. Like, I don't know who gave
that's
this man
his nice. That's why you find him boring.
I don't think that's it. Like, I like nice people. Like, I just don't know, like, who gave this man like a sedative. Like, he's just like high off this
he's
rocker.
Chill.
I don't like it. Like, I don't like that he's chill. Like, I don't like it. Like, he's so boring. Like, I really can't stand him. Like, the only interesting thing that he did all season, like, I do like that he was like, no, I want to wait for, you know, like, I want to wait until we're like on a good standing. Like, yeah, it was nice that he like forgave Willow. Like, he's just so like blah. Like, he just like does nothing. Like, he had one episode where like, I don't care though, because like, they just lock him up. He doesn't do anything cool. There was like one episode where he like nearly escaped and like everybody thought that he did something, but he didn't do anything because like this, yeah. He literally does not do a thing ever. Like, he's honestly the most boring character ever. Like, truly, like, and he's in a band, which is still not interesting. Like, he's honestly like really, really boring. Like, he does not do.
I think
any,
your problem
cannot,
with, I think the problem with him is they don't give him enough to do, right? Like,
yeah, but
you don't
he,
like
I don't
that he
like
has a
his
cool attitude, but
I don't like his character though. Like, I don't like his like personality is what it is. Like, I think that he's just like so he's like too chill. Like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't, it looks like he just like doesn't give a shit about anything. Like, I don't like people like
he's
that.
Deep. He doesn't have these like superficial thoughts like everyone else does, right? Like, when Buffy is able to read minds, he's not being like, oh, I want some gum, you know, like, he's like having these deep existential thoughts. And I just feel like that shows that he's a deeper character than the show has really decided to like spend time on. I personally think there's a lot to mine with his character if the show gave him time, if the show gave him scenes that didn't have Willow in them and didn't involve their relationship.
Yeah.
I would love, we got that Xander centric episode, the Zeppo. I would love an Oz centered episode that isn't his one time only werewolf episode.
I mean,
like, that's all we've gotten.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what, like, it's either like stuff with Willow or it's stuff like of him turning into a werewolf and like maybe doing something that he doesn't remember. But like, besides that and besides the band, like, we really know nothing about him. And I don't like that he's just like so go with the, like, he, like, I just like would not enjoy being friends with somebody like that. Like,
I love a go with guy.
He should, I mean, like, I like a go with guy. That's not what it is. It's just that like, he has like nothing fucking to say or do. And it's just like, he's just sitting there and it's just like, hello, like, talk to me, say something interesting, make a joke. Like, I think like it really is, I don't know if like I like the like silent like stewer. Like, I feel like it just irks me because I'm just somebody, like, I feel uncomfortable in the silence at times. So it's just like, if you're not talking to me, then like, I'm like automatically like something is wrong. Like, what, it's like, what are you doing? He's so, like, I just, like, would not want to be near him. I don't like him. I don't like his face. I don't like anything about him.
I very strongly disagree, but we do have to move on. But I'm
fine.
The one thing I'll leave us with is, like, I think he has great one-liners. I feel like you're not giving him enough credit for the little lines that he says that are really funny. I think the way you described Xander of, like, there's, like, 10 times you've, like, laughed at something Xander has said. Yeah. I would apply that for me to Oz. Like, Oz has these like incredible, like the hummus one-liner, like cracked me up. Like, he has these one-off lines.
It's very dry. It's very dry.
Yeah. He has a dry wit. All right, let's wrap the character breakdowns up with Faith. Faith has like such an interesting arc going from being on the Scooby side to feeling neglected and kind of left out and just like she's not appreciated. She goes over to the mayor's side of things after she, you know, kills a person. And I fully did not expect her to go full, like, big bad. I really didn't. I thought she would kind of come back around and be back with the Scoobies by the end of the season. I'm kind of happy they didn't do that. Like, they defied my expectations and went full on, like, nah, she's murdering people. Like, she's just in cold blood, doesn't care, murdering people.
I thought that was really cool. Like, because I thought that, like, it's really fun to see somebody go, like, really bad. And I think that, like, that was part of why we liked Drew so much, because, like, she was, like, bad. Like, she was, there was, like, she had fun being bad. And, like, I think that that's really cool. Faith is so interesting, and we've talked about her so much this season. Of course we did. She was, like, a really big integral part. All I gotta say is, like, I feel like everybody kind of did her dirty. Like, I think that, like, when you feel a lack of respect and a lack of appreciation, like, of course you're going to seek it, the validation from somebody else. I feel like the Scoobies, like, really did her dirty at times. I think that Buffy, I'm not blaming it on Buffy in totality, but, like, I think that Buffy, like, I don't know, like, it didn't have to be this way. But I think that also, like, Faith doesn't have, like, once again, like, the council, like, how do they determine who is a good option to be a Slayer? Because I think that it's, like, you see Faith, and if you know Faith, like, you should know that, like, she's not the person that you want. Like, she's not the archetype that you want. It's kind of like, this is such, like, a little tangent, but, like, when I was watching the first season of Severance, spoilers for Severance, the whole time I was like, who the fuck hired Heliar? I'm like, you don't hire Heliar because, like, she's, like insubordinate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're hiring manager should know, like, the person that you're hiring. So, like, the whole time I was just like, you know, like, this person, Faith, like, she doesn't have, like, the discipline to be a Slayer. Like, she was probably always going to go rogue, and I think that it could have, it's more so, it could have lasted longer if she did, like, of her not going rogue. She was always going to go rogue. It's just that it happened so much quicker because of the lack of respect and the lack of appreciation.
I think there's a world in which she doesn't necessarily go evil with the right watcher.
I don't think so. I really do think that her personality type, she was always going to take advantage of the system. She was always not going to, like, listen. Like, I really think that it really has to do with, like, who she is deep down. I just think that it maybe with the right watcher, they would have been able, but you can't control her. That's the thing.
I think the thing is you need a watcher that is, like her, right? That is brash, that is blunt, that speaks to her like she speaks to them, who speaks her language. I think, like, Giles wouldn't work. Like, Giles and Wesley are not those watchers.
But watcher protocol, because I feel like every single watcher is a copy and paste of each other. They have a certain archetype that they're looking for. I think that, like, a typical watcher who has to follow protocol would not work with Faith. So I think that's the issue. Like, I think that the council hires all the same type of people over and over and over again, but that's not going to jive well for a Faith. Like, they would have to go, like, totally off script, but they don't go off script. There's a protocol. There's, like, it's like there's a handbook, and then we follow the handbook. So it's like they would never hire a watcher that would actually work with Faith, like, properly.
I think what we would need to see is a watcher who's, like, because I mean, I don't know. It seems obviously Wesley is very green. We don't know how long Giles has been a watcher, but, like, the way I'm thinking of it is, like, almost like a buddy cop movie where you have the watcher that's, like, been in the business for a really long time and is very jaded and, like, kind of grumpy. Like, yeah. I think, like, I'm too old for this shit. I think that kind of person Faith would actually respect and possibly listen to. And yes, she would still make mistakes, but I don't think she'd be condemned for them. And I don't think that person would make her feel judged and ashamed, right? I'm looking at like she gets along with authority figures like the mayor, right? He appreciated her. He showed her respect and she listened to him. I think there's a chance that with the right watcher, I don't know now, right? Like now maybe she's too far off the deep end.
She's too far gone, yeah.
But like, prior to this, I do think there's a world in which with the right style of watcher, and this is why there's so many things wrong with the council, but like obviously getting the pairing of watcher to slayer, there's a specific like vibe, there's a specific like intangible quality, like a chemistry that has to be able to develop. And I just think you need a specific sort of watcher to have faith be successful at slaying. She's always going to be rough around the edges, but I think it could work, just not with Wesley or Giles.
I think that, yeah, absolutely. I think that the mayor thing was a special case because she had like weird daddy issues with him. Like, honestly, like the only reason why she was like listening to what the mayor had to say was because like daddy's going to buy you a pretty pink dress. Daddy's going to buy you a nice dagger. Like there's like some weird shit going on. Like I think that it wasn't like Faith respected the mayor. Faith was like, you are my surrogate father. I'm trying to mimic the same relationship Buffy has with Giles. So I will follow along so that I can role play as this like good little slayer. So that like, you know, it's like the weird parallel. Like, I think that, I don't know if there was like a real like, because it wasn't earned, I just feel like it was very superficial, their relationship.
See, it felt like there was a deep connection there, at least in terms of, and I'm obviously nothing compared to Giles and Buffy, who's really been through it. But I do think they formed a kinship. Maybe it's nowhere near as deep as like the other connections, but
it's performative to me.
They both needed each other. I don't think it's performative. I feel like the way the mayor reacted to Faith being in the hospital was not performative. Like, he cared about Faith. I think we found out in the finale that was his weakness, was Faith. He chased Buffy because she was holding that dagger, because she was basically waving it in his face saying, this is what I use to kill your surrogate daughter. I think there was a real connection there that they built through shared acts of violence. I'm not saying it's like good, but I do think it was there. And so I think Faith was kind of way open to developing relationships with people. I think it was the fact that other people weren't making that effort and that she was constantly left out. That was the reason that she went to the dark side. I think if she has good connections, I don't think it happens. Maybe she always goes rogue, but I don't think it's as bad as it was.
Yeah.
But I'm really intrigued. We know Faith isn't dead. We know she's just in a coma. And we know comas ain't dead, and you can come back from comas. If you can come back from the hells like Angel does, you can come out of a silly little coma.
It's just like, yeah. I mean, yes. But didn't they say that she was brain dead? I don't know.
They said it was highly unlikely that she would regain consciousness because of the brain injury. But again, Sarah, She's a slayer.
She heals faster. Yes.
So I don't think it's the end. I really don't. And I'm really excited if we do get Faith back, what we get to see from her. Because I think there's a lot they could do with Faith. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's get into our character rankings here. Let's remind people where we left off midway through the season. So Sarah, for you, you had Buffy at the top, then Cordy, Giles, Faith, Willow, Xander, Joyce, Oz, and Angel. Give us an update. And now we're obviously including Wesley, given that he popped up midway through the season.
Okay. Buffy, Giles. So that's the same, right?
Buffy, no. Cordy was second.
Okay. Buffy, Giles, Cordelia, Willow, Faith, Xander, Angel, Oz, Wesley, Joyce. Why is Joyce even on here?
Because people asked us to include her. I thought the same thing, but I'm pretty sure people wanted us to have her in our rankings, but even though she's barely around, really.
Okay.
I find it interesting that Angel actually moved up for you, even though we both were just roasting the shit out of him.
Well, because the back end, he was good. The back end, he was like really good. He was like,
he broke up with Buffy and then he fucking blew it.
No, that was funny too.
That was funny.
A little bit, yeah.
I was an asshat.
Yeah.
But yeah, the biggest shifts for you, really, yours stayed very similar to where it was before. I'm a
consistent girly.
Yeah, at times. Joyce moved down a little bit, but like your top half and bottom halves still the same, didn't change.
Yeah.
And Buffy was your number one previously, so that also hasn't changed.
Yeah.
For me, midway through the season, I had Cordy at the top, then Buffy, Giles, Oz, Faith, Willow, Angel, Joyce, and Xander at the bottom. I did have some movement in mine. I have Giles at number one. I thought just he was able to loosen up in a way I really appreciated this season.
Yeah.
I have Buffy second. I really liked what she went through as much as the Bangel stuff got on my nerves. I have Faith third because I found her to be an extremely compelling villain. So I really enjoyed what we got from her. Willow coming into her own. She really, the points were dinged because of her dinging Xander, obviously. Mm-hmm. Oz is after her because, again, I love Oz. I feel like we got to see a lot of who he is at his heart and soul, which is someone who cares about Willow. And I wish not his entire storyline was dedicated to Willow, but here we are. Then I have Cordy. And this is not an indictment on Cordy as a character. It's mostly that I wish they gave her more to do. Then I have Joyce, mostly because it's like, the fuck did she do? The only thing I could really remember was that she actually did listen to Buffy at the end of the season and left. And I think
she was very accepting, or like, maybe not accepting, but
tolerant.
She was tolerant of the slaying. Like, she was like very, like, you know, she wanted to get involved. Like, obviously it was the best season for Joyce, like, by leaps and bounds.
Well, exactly. And I did want to give her some credit for that. Like, I felt like, okay, there was a little bit of development between her and Buffy. Like, there was something there. Then I had Wesley, because I found it very creepy that he was constantly going after Cordelia all season. And also, he's just a fucking wiener. Then I have Xander, because again,
you have to get that stick out of your ass, because
here's the thing, he's not even last.
You think Xander is a bigger issue than Wesley? Are you joking me?
I don't like Xander more than I don't like Wesley.
Okay, whatever you say.
And then Angel, because seriously, he's such a nothing burger, and I'm so happy he spun off. Like, I don't need to see him. We'll talk about the Angel show. But by the time he left, I was like, good riddance, get the fuck out. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. You know, bye. Let's do some villain ranking. So I've now split this, because previously I think we had a joint one.
Oh.
I split it because I believe we have some differences in where we would put people.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at you.
Okay.
Go on.
I'll go through my rankings first. I have Drew at the top. She tickles me every time she's on my screen. I love her. I find her so funny, and I love that she revels in being evil. Same thing with Angelus. Angel can get the fuck out and not come back. Angelus is acceptable any day, anytime. I find him to be so fun. He revels in being a villain. You'll notice that is a very commonality. That is a commonality among the people that are at the top of my list. I then put the mayor, and I am shocked. I am shocked that I have the mayor this high. And here's the thing. I feel like maybe the key to success here is the mayor was not hyped up for us at all, to my memory. Mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong about that, but I don't remember anyone being like, wait till you meet the villain. Wait till you meet,
you meet the mayor. I mean, also, he was like such a mystery to us prior to meeting him, because we
thought he was a dust mite.
He probably was. There was just like so much like speculation about the mayor before we officially met him. But yeah, he was a really fun villain.
Yeah. And so I maybe the key to success is low expectations. But like,
oh, yeah,
I thought his one liners were really funny. Like him, when he talked about like having gas, like he just always had these like, oh, I just renovated my office. Like he always had these quips that were making me laugh. And yeah. I think he has the added bonus of his relationship with Faith that boosts him up for me. I feel like that was so compelling. And I thought he was pretty dimensional. So I really liked him. I struggled with where to put Spike, whether above or below the mayor, because I feel like personally they're right near each other. I really loved the cameo we got from Spike this season, him bopping into town and being drunk. Like, drunk Spike is hysterical.
True.
I just feel like I'm not forgetting the like three quarters of a season he spent in a wheelchair. Okay. Lest we forget.
No, I won't.
That was awful. So like he definitely is below the mayor as a result of that. Daddy Vamps making a surprise appearance was everything to me, but obviously he's not like, he's not the biggest baddie of them all. In our hearts, he is. But if I'm being objective, I feel like obviously Daddy Vamps isn't way up there. I feel like I love the Daddy Vamps we've created in our minds more than I love the, necessarily the Daddy Vamps that we saw on TV, beyond him being a fabulous father. And then like very obviously the anointed one is last because he fucking sucks and we all know it. And I'm glad he's dead, even though he's a child. I'm so happy he's gone.
I'm never going to forgive you for this because I thought we had an alliance. Like I thought that there was one thing that we knew in this galaxy, and that was Daddy Vamps was the best villain of all time.
I'm going to hear. So, I'm doing this for you. You can see it on our document. I've moved Daddy Vamps to my top just for
that's,
you.
You're such a liar.
I just did it. You can see it.
I see it. But like you already said what you said. Like, obviously, Daddy Vamps is the best villain of all time. We got to see him again this season. That was such a fun surprise. I don't understand how you could say that he's not the best villain of all time. I love him. Really
best father of all time,
best father of all time, best villain of all time. Very hurtful. Very, very hurtful. Number two, I have Drululu. Same reason as you. She's just like such a fun character. I was very bummed that we didn't get to see her this season. I was pretty convinced that when we saw Spike, we would see Drew. And I hope that we get to see her again. I'd be very, very disappointed if we never see her again. But I don't think that we will. Like, I mean, that's not Buffy. Buffy loves to bring back shit from old times.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. At first, I thought you were saying you didn't think we'd see her again. Yeah,
no,
I definitely do.
No, like, we'll see her again. Number three, I have the mayor. I totally agree with you. Like, I thought that the mayor was really funny, like, really interesting. Like, I really like the stories that we concoct in our own minds about what his deal was. And his stuff with Faith was interesting. The parallels were interesting. He might have been like a little easier to kill than I anticipated, but like I guess I mean I don't know, like a little bombs, whatever. Then I have Angelus, like he's a cool villain. Then I have Spike, because Spike, I can't forgive nor forget the wheelchair times. So I think that we're gonna see more Spike in the future, and I think that there could be like a lot of cool things that he does in the future, but like I don't know, like at this time I don't really think that he's like a crazy villain, and because like he did work with Buffy, so is he even a super villain? I don't know. And then like the Anointed One is like the biggest cursed bitch I've ever seen. I hate him and I wish I never saw him ever again. But the rules are you have to like Daddy Vamps, and it's very disgusting that you did not have him.
He's at the top of my list now.
Now he is. Now he is.
Okay. MVP of the season. For me, it's Giles. Giles and Buffy. Yeah. They have, especially one thing we haven't mentioned at all, and I just want to throw it out there as one of my favorite Giles moments of the season, is when Faith comes to him and tries to lie and say that Buffy killed the human, and he knows she's lying.
Yes, that was so good.
Right? It just showed that not only is Giles very intelligent, which we knew he was, but like it's, I like seeing it, but also that he trusts Buffy. Like there are so many moments this season that he trusts Buffy, where earlier in the season, like in seasons one and two, maybe he was a little bit more like, are you sure you can do this alone? Like prom is a really great example where like he trusted her to take care of those devil dog, demon dog things and was like, go have fun. I'll be at the prom waiting for you.
Yeah.
Love him. What about your LVP, Sarah? Who you got?
I mean, I obviously it's Angel. Like he is like, has, like more than half the season, he was like an absolute dud. Like I think that, like I said, like if we want to have like real stakes and he comes back, like let him come back halfway through the season and actually have it be like an impact when he comes back. It's just like such the same thing as Topanga leaving for Pittsburgh. And like I swear in my mind that bitch was gone for half a season. Yes. It was the next episode and she came back and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, if you want to have like stakes, then like we have to have them gone for longer. I don't care if David Boreanaz has like a fucking contract and he's supposed to be on like 20 episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, be real. No, he was on every single episode, all 22 episodes, because we had visions of him in the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. It was honestly, it was bullshit. I was just like, what the fuck is this? And he was just like half dead the whole time. All the stuff with Buffy was like really hard to digest. I mean, there's a couple cool moments where he got to be like a badass. I did
yeah,
like
when that guy's name's Angel or whatever the fuck he says. I did like that moment.
I like that like he tricked Faith. That was kind of funny. Like there was definitely moments, but then like how he leaves was like such like a wet blanket moment too. It was just like
such a whiny little baby.
You're just gonna fade into the mist. All right.
Did you even miss me? Get the fuck out of here. Go. Leave.
Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah. So like he really didn't work for me this season at all.
Especially when you think about the fact that he's like 200 something years old. It's like, really, bro? You have the emotional intelligence of a 14-year-old boy. Stop it.
You didn't have time to work on that in all the time you've been alive.
Seriously. Like,
come on. Please.
Let's move on to least favorite episodes. I listed, honestly, all of the Xander and Willow, will they, won't they? Mm-hmm. I hated that storyline so much. Like, those episodes annoyed me to no end. And then I noticed on your list, which I also said, the gingerbread episode was pretty stupid.
That was, I didn't even understand. Like, I really felt like I had to do AP calculus trying to figure out what the fuck was happening in that episode. It made no sense. It was just like a shitty ass episode. I also thought that like Amends was like pretty cheese. Like, just the whole thing, like the ghosts of like Angel past was stupid. Like, the whole thing was dumb.
It was dumb.
And Beauty and the Beast, which was like a Oz-centric episode, but like basically he like did not remember if he murdered somebody, but something else murdered somebody. It was just, I don't know. Like, those episodes didn't really work for me.
Yeah. Let's get into our favorite episodes. I think probably will be in with like the majority of people in our most favorites. Obviously the finale was incredible. Like, the two-part finale, I really liked. It had the best action scenes I feel like the show has done. I feel like I was very much in on the Buffy versus Faith. I was really excited to see that. There's a little bit of lackluster moments in terms of like Angel leaving and all that stuff, but the school banding together, I really loved, and like fighting back the monsters themselves. Like, it felt epic in a great way. And Sarah, you and I both have Band Candy on our lists.
That episode was a lot of fun. Like, I actually like saw somewhere that is not like a typically high ranked episode. But
are you kidding me? We get to see Giles being a teenager. That was so fun.
I don't know. Like, I thought it was a lot of fun. And I mean, you and I love the drama. It was really funny seeing like Buffy chase after her mom and Giles and be like, please, like, put your shit together. And once again, it was like, I don't know, I was like, wait, is Giles hot? In that moment, I really liked it. I thought it was fun. I also really loved The Wish. Like, I thought that The Wish was like a really good episode. I thought that was like interesting. Anya, the introduction of Anya,
loved Anya.
Yeah. And then like having that coupled with Doppelgangland, because like I honestly didn't think that we would see Anya again, and I didn't think that we're going to see like vampire Willow again. And like, I just thought that those two episodes as like sister episodes are probably my two favorite episodes of the season. Like, I think that I rank it higher than everything else. And the last one that I really liked was Bad Girls, because once again, it was just like, it was cool to see Faith like have that little switch turned. It was fun to see Buffy let loose and like dance and like have fun and like be a little bad. And I feel like the line of Buffy being like, but Faith, you killed somebody, and Faith being like, I don't care. Like, I feel like that sticks with me, and it will stick for me forever, because it was just like such a revelation of like, oh, like, she's gone. And like, I remember like you were like, no, like I think that like she like it's like she's like, you know, it's like deep in there, like she's recessing those feelings. Or and I was like, no, babe, like I think she's gone. She's gone, gone. And I just like really that delivery, it was like bone chilling. She's like, I don't care. And it's like she didn't. She didn't care.
It was that was a really great moment. Let's go over the predictions that we made way back when, before we started season three. And we'll see if we got literally anything right. Mm-hmm. you said we will meet a new Slayer and that Eliza Dushkanoo is the new Slayer. You were right.
I was right. I mean, like, I honestly feel as though it was, like, kind of obvious. And I don't know if, like, I was incepted into spoilers, but...
I mean, I don't know. Just take the win, you know? You got okay. something right. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drew and Spike have a rift because of Spike's betrayal. By the end of the season, they'll no longer be a couple. It opens up an opportunity for Buffy to slither in.
Slither.
Well, unfortunately, we okay. barely saw them.
Well, Drew, yeah. But we do know that they had a rift because of Spike's betrayal. So,
they did.
And but we don't know if they got back together because Spike was like, I'm going to make her get back together with me. So I don't know if that worked.
Yeah. Buffy will ice out Xander when she finds out he lied to her.
That really did not come to fruition, did it?
I was upset about this. This is the biggest miss.
Yeah. Biggest miss. That really, like I said, like now that Angel's gone, like I thought like they were going to bring it up eventually. No, like now, like it's not relevant.
No. And it's very annoying because. Come on now. Ethan returns and we'll learn more about Ripper.
Did Ethan return? He returned.
He returned, but I don't think we really learned.
We didn't really, but I think Ethan's going to come back every season. So
I think so too.
He's like, hey, I'm back.
It's back again.
Halloween time to open up Spear Halloween.
College time. Maybe he's going to open up those stores or like a store that's like the anything but. Costume parties or whatever those are called where everything you wear is like you can't be a costume, it has to be like duct tape or something. Okay, Buffy will never go back to high school. GED queen.
She went back to high school.
She did. Willow is a full-blown witch. I'd say pretty much.
She's
getting there. She still has to deal with Rat Amy, but she's getting there. She can spin pencils. Zordy breaks up within the first quarter of the season. That's correct, I think. I don't know when they broke up, but it was early on, right?
It's pretty early, yeah.
Yeah.
Not
too bad.
Yeah, I did really like Willow doing the pencil trick. I thought that, and the fact that I came back once again, really good.
I like that. Yeah.
All right. I think that I did pretty well.
Not too bad. My predictions: emo Buffy for a few episodes.
It was like one.
Well, I would say one. The Anne episode, she was pretty emo. Halfway through the season, Buffy gets a new love interest. Nope, because stupid Angel. I thought Angel was spinning off at the time. So, Waz has sex. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Joyce is nearly killed.
Not really.
There is a moment where she's in danger.
When is she not in danger?
That's fair. That's very fair.
I can give it to you. I don't care. It's not...
I'm not keeping points anyway. Ripper backstory. You had said this as well, but unfortunately we really didn't get anything. We'll come back a few months after the season two finale. I think that's true. I think Buffy's been away for a little bit. Spike and Buffy ship. I'm still upset.
Not yet. It'll happen.
It might happen.
I mean, we have like 8 seasons. It's going to happen.
There's always time. Cordy gets some sort of special powers. I'm
the
also
power
didn't
of being
happen.
Very poor.
So sad. And I really thought there'd be ghosts. Do the little children that Joyce sees count as ghosts? Were those ghosts?
Kinda. Maybe. I think so. They were fake ghosts. I don't know what they were because that was the stupid Hansel and Gretel episode. And I was just like, I have no clue what's happening here.
Yeah, no one cares. So... those were our predictions, but now it is time. It is that special, special time where we make predictions about season 4. Mm-hmm. So Sarah, hit us with your hot, spicy predictions.
All right. So let's talk majors. I didn't write this down, but Cordelia, fashion merchandising, duh. I think Willow is going to be an education major. I think that Buffy is going to be what's like the cop major?
Forensics.
No, not forensics. The like
law enforcement?
Law, like some sort of like that. Like yeah. I'm reaching towards what that is. Mm-hmm. And like Xander, he'll be like communications. I don't know. Maybe, or like maybe like Willow might be some sort of like computer major. Was maybe music. So yeah. Okay. All Scoobies are going to be at Sunnydale University somehow, including Xander. I don't know how, but they're going to figure it out. Like, they're all going to be there. Giles is going to be a professor, and I think that Wesley is going to be his TA. We're definitely going to have a sorority or fraternity episode, crossing my fingers. Xander is definitely joining a fraternity if he's in school. I think that Oz and Willow will break up because Oz is going to hold on to old stuff. I am keeping on to that theory. I really do. If Faith comes back, she's going to be gone by the end of the season, and Buffy's going to be the one to officially kill her. I think that she's going to be a meanie baddie. If Cordelia does not go to school, I think a good place for her to be is an au pair in Switzerland or somewhere fancy.
I remember us talking. That makes so much sense.
Let's make money. Like, she'll travel. She loves to travel. Maybe she'll go to Paris. Like, that would be very good for her. I think that we can see a departure from Cordelia and Sunnydale. New boyfriend for Buffy, and he is a supernatural of some kind. I was trying to think of different supernaturals, but I couldn't come up with anything because, as we all know, I'm not a very supernatural girl. I was sitting here for like, I was like, mummy, no. I was like, Frankenstein? Like,
I want Buffy and a mummy to get together now.
I was like, I could not think of one supernatural besides like, I was like, yeah, Frankenstein. I don't know. It wasn't working out for me. I don't know. And then Willow harnesses her powers and becomes super powerful, but she still can't bring Amy the Rat back.
Okay. I love these predictions. I have some that kind of dovetail with yours. My first prediction is Xander and Cordy are going to reconnect over the summer. I'm not sure if they'll be like a couple, but they're definitely going to like fuck over the summer or something. Maybe they're both in Europe backpacking or something like that. We're going to meet a new love interest for Buffy in the premiere episode. I want it to happen in the premiere. Also, I know I love to like, last time I said ghosts, the time before I said there's going to be werewolves. I like to put in a supernatural element like you, not necessarily Buffy dating them, but that they're going to fight them. And I'm manifesting oozes this season.
Love ooze.
I love an ooze. I can't help it. Okay. They're squishy. They're cute. You can make weird slurpy noises. I love oozes, and they're all like jiggly and jello-y. I hope they fight oozes. I think Faith is going to be the big bad of the season. Like, she's going to replace the mayor as biggest of bads.
Okay.
I think Buffy is going to attempt to turn Faith to the good side, but ultimately fail, and Faith is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buffy drastically changes her hair. She's going to do that whole like breakup haircut situation. Maybe some color in there. Who knows?
Hate to see it.
Yeah. Willow surprisingly joins a sorority, I think. And I think there's going to be some sort of strife between her and Cordy about it, because Cordy's big time mad about it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting. Waz is donezo this season. You guessed this too. I'm going to be sad about it, obviously, but I think that's what's going to happen. Giles and Joyce are going to fuck again. I think they're so funny.
They're like endgame. I'm putting my
so confident about Cordy and Wesley being endgame.
Okay, like one of the like, you know, a wrong clock is correct twice a day or whatever. They're endgame.
Yes. Ripper backstory, please, for the love of God. I also guessed Ethan's gonna return for an episode. I like you think he'll be like a one a season kind of guy. I also want Wesley and Giles to be roommates, because I think it would be funny.
That'd be so
it'd be
fun.
Very funk Felicity beds. And Megan, you know.
Yeah, funk beds. Big yes, funk side energy. Yeah.
Giles is the college librarian and Wesley is a professor. Also, alongside my ooze prediction, I want a random character to die in a
pile. Why aren't we back on the ooze? And why are they not like next to each other? Like, what? Like, this organization is so stupid. Here, I'm going to copy and paste it. Like, oh, at least you put your fucking, like, ooze theories together,
This is stream of consciousness predictions, okay?
You wrote 30. Like, once again, you're betting your hedges.
I was on a roll here.
Yeah.
Willow's going to get glasses very
quickly. Why? What is the point?
Because she needs them.
Why does she need them?
She can't see. She's a witch.
She doesn't need glasses.
She can't fix Amy the rat. She certainly can't fix her eyeballs if they go bad.
I think my theory of why she can't fix Amy the rat is because Amy the rat is a real witch, like born witch, and Willow is a learned witch. And I think that born witches are stronger than learned witches, is my theory.
I also think Willow is finally going to fix Amy the rat.
It's not going to happen. Amy's coming to college, and Amy's going to be a rat forever.
I would love that. Oz finds a werewolf friend, and maybe it's a girl he eventually dates after Willow.
Mm-hmm. Ew. Very hairy. I'm envisioning leg hair and pits, and which is fine. Maybe, it's fine. But...
yeah, they're hairy everywhere. Yeah. Cordy is still a poor, and so she has to hang with the Scoobies.
Once again, that makes no sense. Like, just because you're poor, you have to hang out with losers, okay?
Yes. Willow's going to smoke weed for the first time.
Why?
Because she wants to!
Okay.
Wesley and Giles have joint custody of Buffy in terms of being a watcher. I think it made sense.
Sure.
That's the agreement the watchers are going to come to. Xander gets a job as a postman or a cop.
Oh, you know, I have some news. Jeremy got taken off of her route.
No! Was that on this podcast or was that on Felicity?
I don't know, but we don't have Jeremy.
Did you learn the name of your new post person?
Not yet, no. He's very elusive. I can't get a hold of him. Yeah, it's really bad.
Do you think he sees you coming and he's like, no.
No, I just watch him.
Jeremy warned me about her.
No, no.
Anya shows up at college and fucks Oz.
Anya likes Xander. What are you talking
about?
She
liked him briefly, but
Anya still likes Xander.
We'll see. Okay, so people who watched what the heck was it called? The Superman show with Clark Kent, played by Tom, whatever the hell, Smallville, will understand this. Buffy has a red kryptonite moment and fucks Spike. And the red kryptonite turns you bad, in a sexy way. You're chaos incarnate. So I think she's going to be exposed to something that makes her do crazy things, and she's going to fuck Spike.
Okay.
And then also fairies are introduced, but they're evil, not cute.
I love fairies.
I think it would be fun, right? You said supernatural stuff. There you go, fairies.
Yeah, I love fairies. That's a supernatural that I know of. I don't know about it, but I know a little bit about it.
So yeah, those are our predictions.
Wow, brilliant.
Everyone
Absolutely
should appreciate
brilliant.
Those. We have a little bit of feedback to get to. We just got two emails. One from Sophie, who says, congratulations on finishing season 3. You're more than a third of the way done with Buffy, so yay. Season 3 is a really strong season and my second favorite season overall. The first half is a bit lighter, full of some great Monster of the Week episodes. And after Helpless, which is episode 12, the season goes into full throttle and just doesn't let up to make a great end of the season. On the umbrella scene versus the graduation scene, for me, the two scenes really complement and elevate each other. The umbrella scene on the surface is great and heartwarming, Buffy finally getting recognition from her peers and making it seem that all her sacrifices were worth it. On a rewatch, it means so much more because you know what's to come. You know that not even two episodes later, the students are going to unite and fight with Buffy. That while that ugly umbrella may seem like a cute gesture, they're going to put action behind their words and trust her to protect them. Every time I see that scene, I think of graduation. In turn, the umbrella scene gives us with that beautiful surprise at graduation. The moment where the entire graduating class reveals their weapons is great because it's so satisfying, believable, and earned. Without the umbrella scene, you'd have too many questions to make this moment believable. When did they acknowledge that they would know about the monsters? Why are they all suddenly following Buffy? Sure, some people might have followed Buffy, but not the entire class. We could have gotten there within the episode, but it would have required too much exposition and would have probably ruined the surprise reveal, or the reveal wouldn't have been as satisfying. But because we got the umbrella scene, we get it. No explanation needed. I love both of those scenes, and I think they're better when looked at together. Love the podcast. Great job, ladies. And looking forward to what you think of season 4 from Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie.
I agree. I like the umbrella scene better now that I have the context of the finale. I just wish it wasn't such a fucking ugly umbrella.
Oh my gosh. they had to whip something up really last minute.
It really was last minute.
Because it was a write-in. They said it was write-in. So they weren't expecting it. And they probably used all their budget on other stuff.
Craft store and dollar store nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
We also got an email from Linda. Hey, ladies, now that Angel has done his final creep and left Sunnydale, I really wanted to share my thoughts about Angel the series and give a final plea for you guys to please watch it. Let me start by saying Angel is my least favorite Buffy character. He's a whiny creeper, and when he isn't, he's Angelus, who I equally hate because he killed my Jenny. So I get why people would be turned off by a series with him as the lead. It also makes what I'm about to say next even more powerful. Angel the series is one of my absolute favorite shows. I'm not alone in that either. I know quite a lot of people who love it, and a bunch of them like it more than Buffy. I'm going to try to get into why without being spoilery. Angel is completely brilliant character arcs. They aren't just my favorite character arcs in the Buffyverse, but out of any TV shows I've watched, they really take their time with the characters, some of which will be coming over from Sunnydale to get their full chance to shine. This may be controversial, but I honestly don't think people should watch Buffy if they aren't going to watch Angel, because you'll miss out on characters' complete journeys. So it's like buying a book and only reading half of it. There are also original characters who I absolutely adore and I think you may love too. Along with that, there are multiple crossover episodes, which has been mentioned. And then Linda talks a little bit about Doctor Who, which I don't really understand because I only watch a little bit of Doctor Who. One final reason I love Angel the series before I end my rant is one of the main themes of the show is redemption or atonement. And I love how all these people who are outcasts in their own ways, who feel lost and like they don't matter, come together to help others. And it shows anyone can be a hero and you aren't defined by your worst days. And in regards to the season premiere of Buffy, keep your eyes open for an awesome guest star. If it's not Daddy Vance, we're going to be upset. We want him as a guest star. Okay, so at the very least, what I will say is, because obviously we're finishing the season here, we're going to start season 4, I will at least watch the Angel premiere. Mm-hmm. And I think what we'll do is we'll watch the Angel premiere, we'll talk about it on the Buffy podcast, like at the end, so if people aren't interested, they can just tune out, whatever. And then we'll go from there. If we both are just watching it alongside, then we can just have like a little bit of like an Angel corner. If someone wants to like come up with a cutesy name, we would love that. Some little Angel moment.
Creeper corner.
Perfect. Creeper corner. Which kind of works because we often called the Dawson's Creek people the Creek Creeps. So bring it back.
Oh, there we go. We're bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Creeper back.
Bringing Creeper back. So we'll probably end up doing something like a little bit of a Creeper corner. And we'll see how it goes. If it turns into too much, then we're not going to stress ourselves out with having to watch Angel. And we can either watch some summary videos or have you, the lovely listeners, send us in some stuff. We'll figure it out. Don't fret. We will like figure out a way to make this work without us doing an entire separate podcast on Angel, because simply that ain't happening. So how does that sound to you, Sarah?
I'm good.
Yeah. Now, do you want to hear what the season 4 premiere of Buffy is called?
Yes.
It is The Freshman.
Oh, which, yeah.
Duh, right?
Like, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. So that will be season 4, episode 1, which I'm really excited to get into. I feel like I love... talked about this before. I love a premiere. We got new hair. We got new looks. We got a little bit of glow ups. And usually they're very fun to talk through. So I can't wait to talk about it.
Me too.
Okay.
We'll be back next time.
We'll be back next time. So I think that's about everything we have. So until next week. Also, don't forget to send your feedback. Shenanigans Pod everywhere. Find us. Until next time, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.